Hey, girl. Yes, you. You are seen. You are loved. And you were made for more. Hey, created especially for teen girls, chart-topping Christian artist Ann Wilson invites you to her 40-day devotional, Hey Girl. Through honest stories, scripture, and journal prompts, Ann talks about real struggles, comparison, insecurity, doubt, and faith, reminding you that God is always near and fighting for you. Hey Girl, from K-Love Books. Get your copy today at klove.com/books.
Is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Welcome, everyone, to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. And I'll bet you're listening to this and saying, that doesn't sound like Pastor Ernie Sanders. No, this is Pastor Richard Lewis. I'm filling in for Pastor Sanders tonight. He's under the weather and having a little trouble. Last night, if you recall, he was having a little trouble with his chest. So he's taking the night off, and we're filling in for him. Today's Friday, December 19th, 2025, and this is Pledge Week. This is the last day of Pledge Week, so we really need those calls coming in. The number is 888-281-1110 and 888-677-9673. So please get those phones going right away. And at the helm, our engineer tonight is Andy.
Hello, everyone.
And we have Pastor John McTernan on the line.
All the way from Texas.
Hello. Yeah. Hello. God bless you and all our listeners.
Yes, amen. And you're in Texas, right?
Yeah, Houston, Texas.
Houston. Mm. Oh, okay. Got some friends in that area.
We'll trade you the weather.
And then
it was a nice day here today. I think it was near 70.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we had a nice day, too. I think it was in the
20s.
Yeah. Yes.
Anyway, in the studio, you heard Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
And also Randall Barkley, one of the elders of from Akron.
Good evening, everyone.
Yes, amen. And back in the call center, we have Deacon Eric and Carl. So please keep them busy tonight. Again, we need the callers coming in. I guess last night was a little lean, and it's tough to stay on all the programs and all the stations that Pastor Sanders is on if he doesn't have enough contributions. So please consider that. And again, let me repeat the numbers before I turn it over to John to do our Bible study. But it's 888-281-1110 and 888-677-9673. John, you can take it away.
Well, thank you, Pastor. I was thinking when Pastor Ernie called me this afternoon and I had a discussion with him, and I could tell he was all congested bad, and he asked me if I would cover the teaching tonight. And it's Christmas season, and I was thinking that a good idea would be to cover Christ's birth, you know, because we can celebrate his birth not realizing the importance of the virgin birth. Because mm-hmm. without the Lord being born of a virgin, he would have the same sin nature as us.
Yeah, that's so important.
Yes,
because his father is Almighty God, mm-hmm. and the Holy Spirit impregnated a virgin, a woman that never had relationships with a man, which does eliminate the idea of him being born with that sin nature. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right, right. So that's where we get the incarnation. It's the union of divinity, the Lord, with humanity, and that's what Jesus Christ is. He had to be born of a virgin.
Yes.
That's one of the absolute foundations of Christianity.
Well, otherwise, one, he would have had that sin nature, and the other thing is he would just have been a good man or a prophet, but not God in the flesh.
Right, right. And that's so he could, he was 100% human, and he never lost his divinity. So there's God and man. He didn't have our sin nature. That is the important thing. That's why he could be our Savior.
Amen.
If he had a nature like ours, he'd need a Savior also. But he is the Savior.
Yeah.
So I thought I would go over some scriptures on this. And Matthew 1:23 is one of the key scriptures for this about him being born of a virgin. So let me read the scripture. Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to tie in with that verse, John 3:16, mm-hmm. for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Mm-hmm.
Christ came from the Bible tells us, from the bosom of the Father. He was not a created being. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that's, it's so important. Again, the foundation of our faith rests upon Jesus Christ being born of a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Now, what I wanted to do next is touch God's nature and why Christ had to come. Because Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages, the payment for sin is death. Now, death means eternal separation from God forever. And it's a living state. Eternity is both for those that are with Christ and those that are without Christ. In fact, without Christ for eternity, it's called the lake of fire. So, but God loves us, and that's why he sent Christ. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. For some people, that might seem harsh, the reality of hell. The problem is here that God is holy, and he cannot be in the presence of sin. His holiness will not allow it. So 1 Peter 1:15 and 16 goes, but he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of lifestyle. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So that is the problem. God is holy, and sin cannot be in his presence. There's a penalty for it. And that's, again, why Jesus Christ came, because God loves us, and through Christ, his holiness is satisfied, and his love is satisfied. The holiness, because the penalty for sin is paid for, by Jesus Christ, and we get the Holy Spirit, which allows a new nature. And so the penalty is paid, and then God's love is paid because we can be with him in eternity. So through Jesus Christ, God's holiness is dealt with, and his love is dealt with. And that's where John 3:16 comes in. Mm-hmm. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, there's the whosoever, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Yeah.
And he makes that so easy for salvation. It's not a hard thing to do, and there's no works involved. That's what's so beautiful about salvation.
Yes. The only thing about salvation, now, this isn't works, but part of salvation is repentance. Mm-hmm. So that's a must for me, in looking at the gospel.
Yeah.
Because without repentance, there's a real weakness there. We must really have a reality of our sin and repent of it. And then the confession of Christ is our Savior.
Yeah, we have to admit that we're a sinner, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And that's interesting, you were saying about how Jesus came and because he was of God, he did not inherit that sin nature. But Mary had that sin nature.
Yes, she did.
And Luke 1:47, it says, "And my spirit hath rejoiced," this is talking, Mary speaking, "and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." So she's even needs a Savior.
Acknowledging that, yes.
Well, you see, it's really interesting when you look at, and that's what I'm going next, into Romans chapter 12. The sin nature, as I understand the scriptures, is passed through the man.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's look at Romans 5:12.
Yeah.
"Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, that all have sinned."
Uh-huh.
And notice, again, it's coming from the man. "As by one man sin entered into the world, and death," the wages of sin is death, "by sin, so death passed upon all men." All men. It passed generation after generation because we're in Adam. When Adam fell into sin, that nature was passed to us.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 19. "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one man, many be made righteous." So through Adam, we become sin. And through Jesus Christ, we become righteous.
Amen.
That's right. And then also, John, as you asked why Jesus had come, 1 John 3:8 reads that "he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning." And it says, "For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil."
And the works of the devil is that sin nature in us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be dealt with. And then Romans 5:21 says, "that as sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through the righteousness," that's through Jesus Christ, "unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord."
Mm-hmm.
So Romans chapter 5 is very clear about the problem with sin.
Mm-hmm.
But what I like, the Lord dealt with this problem, and we go to John 3:3, and one of the top Pharisees came to talk to Jesus, and we know him, his name is Nicodemus.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus was in the conversation, he said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That born again, we need to be born again because of our nature. We were born once with the Bible calls it the flesh, and that's completely the sin nature taken over by sin. But when we're born again, we have the new life in Jesus Christ. Now, verse 6, John 3:6, "that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now, that which is born of Adam is the flesh. And that which was born of the Spirit, Jesus Christ, is spirit." That's why we have to be born again, folks.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord's laying it out crystal clear here. And then verse 7, "marvel not, I said unto thee, ye must be born again." So we don't have an option. the being born again is because, you know, we're born once, we'll say, in Adam, and then we got to be born again, and that's through Jesus Christ. And that's where God's righteousness is placed in us, through Jesus Christ. That's why we can have eternal life. But we must be born again.
Absolutely.
Any comment?
No, that's so important. That, and like I said, the salvation is the belief and understanding that it's, we're not saved by any works that we do. It's right. Just by, it's from the head to the heart. That's it.
Right. Works can't make us be born again.
Nope.
In no way. It has to be confession, repentance, confession of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He died on the cross, shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sin. He rose the third day. And when we do that, God imparts his Holy Spirit into us. And that's how we become born again. We're born of the Spirit.
Yeah, and that's knowing that we have that sin nature, that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we know that. And so that's how we come to him, because we know we need a Savior.
Exactly. Jesus really, in that sense, he took his sin upon us, but he came into the world sinless. He could be the Savior. In fact, he was the only one that could be the Savior.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He didn't have the penalty of sin on him.
Mm-hmm.
He took that penalty for us, and then we become born of the Spirit. And it may seem strange to some people. How could God become a man through the person of Jesus Christ? Well, the way I address that is I go to Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 26.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, "Let us make man in our image and our likeness." We are made in God's image and likeness. And that's how Jesus Christ could become one of us. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. So through God, God couldn't become an angel to save them. They're not his nature. They're not made in his image and likeness. But
right.
We are.
Right.
And that's why Jesus Christ could become one of us. Isn't that amazing?
It is. It's absolutely.
That verse is so important, that we're made in his image and likeness.
I pray the listeners are grasping this. This is so foundational and so important.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't know anything else, this is absolutely the most important thing, is understanding who Jesus Christ is. And how you can get to heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah, and why he had to go to the cross.
Yes, yes.
Because he could pay our penalty.
He had to because of our sins. Let me remind everybody of the phone numbers. This is Pledge Week, so I just want to make sure that everybody is calling in and keeping our two guys in the back busy. It's 888-281-1110 and 888-677-9673. Please call in and to keep Pastor Sanders on the air. And that airtime is so expensive, and he really needs the contributions to be coming in. Go ahead, back to you, John.
Yeah. Now there's scriptures from 2 Corinthians 5, starting at verse 19, which clearly, without a doubt, shows what I've been teaching here out of the Word. So let's start at verse 19. That is, God was in Christ. There, that's the incarnation.
Mm-hmm.
Reconciling the world unto himself, reconciling it, not imputing, not counting their trespasses unto them, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. So that's what I'm doing now. I am sharing the word of reconciliation to all our listeners. Verse 21, for he, that means God, had made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
So what you're saying about the reconciliation is he's getting us out of that sin situation. He's reconciling us.
Right, yeah. And that's, he puts the sin and the penalty on Jesus.
Right.
And then we get Jesus' righteousness. What a trade that is, because Jesus is without sin.
Amen.
So we can go to heaven because we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ imparted in us.
Right.
And that righteousness, when it's imparted in us, comes with the Holy Spirit.
And him again being fully God, fully man, according to John 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus was with him in the beginning. And then according to Hebrews, it says that a body thou hast prepared for him, because the requirement before was the sacrifice, of course, or the shedding of blood, but they were using that of innocent animals, blood, the blood of bulls and goats. But that sacrifice was a temporary atonement. It could not totally eradicate sin. And this is why Jesus Christ had to come in the form of man and be that Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world.
Amen. Very eloquent. You nailed it. Very nice, brother. Very nice. And I want to go on to Philippians, because this here really explains it in a special way. Philippians 2, verse 6. Who being in the form of God, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, thought about robbery to be equal with God. In other words, he wasn't like stealing it or whatever.
Right.
He thought it not, because he was equal with God. When he's the only begotten Son of God, that's his relationship with God the Father throughout all eternity.
And that's descriptive of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's what you were reading in Genesis. Let us make God and let us make man in our image. Our image, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Three-person Godhead.
Philippians 2:7. But made himself of no reputation. In other words, all the glory he was due as God, he didn't take that. And took upon, he couldn't come amongst us in his glory. He had to come just like one of us. And took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Wow, that's coming as the only begotten Son of God, the second person of the Godhead, to become one of us. And being found in the fashion of a man, that means he was found as one of us, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
And that's that he was man, and, you know, but he knew when he was going to die and how he was going to die. That took a strong, strong person, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what really drove him. You can look at Hebrews 12:2.
Yep.
And it says, for the joy that was set before him.
Yes,
that's right.
The cross and taking the shame.
Mm-hmm.
And now he sits down at the right hand of the majesty on high.
Yes.
So for us, the joy of us being saved, him going to the cross, shedding his blood, paying the penalty for sin, that brought joy to him because we would be his children forever and eternity with him.
Yeah, which really exemplifies his love for us, the magnitude of his love for us.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So we started off with the virgin birth of Christ, which we celebrate here at Christmas time, so we can't forget that.
Yeah.
We can't forget why he had to be born of a virgin.
Yeah.
It had to be, folks. He could not have an ounce of Adam's sin nature in us. In him. He was the holy, only begotten Son of God without sin that went to the cross, and God took our penalty for sin and placed it on him, and took his righteousness, because he was without sin, and placed it in us.
Yeah.
So we are righteous before God because of the shed blood and death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Isn't that amazing what God did to satisfy His holiness?
And what an honor that He lifts us up so high here. John, we're going to take a break here, and we'll be back after this message. Go ahead, Andy.
The break.
It's FM radio. Imagine starting your car and realizing that what you can hear or can't hear has already been decided for you. The same tech giants that censor your posts, curate your news feeds, and impact your online experience now want to control what plays through your vehicle's dashboard. Last week, Tesla confirmed it will remove FM radio from its base Model 3 and Model Y vehicles. Just days later, General Motors doubled down on its plans to eliminate Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, opting instead for a proprietary system designed with big tech partners. Individually, these sound like technical upgrades, but together they represent a fundamental shift. Control of the car is shifting from drivers to corporations. We've seen this before in our social media feeds, search results, and app stores. Now, some algorithms and corporate interests that decide what you see or hear online are coming for your radio dial. That future might sound hypothetical. It's already idling in your driveway. The dashboard is becoming the walled garden. For generations, the car radio has been a great equalizer, free, local, and open to all. It delivers news, weather alerts, and community updates instantly, and of course, local sports. No subscription or data plan required. But as vehicles become software platforms, automakers are rewriting the rules. Of course, there's money involved in that. They're no longer just selling you cars. They're building digital ecosystems for you by removing AM and FM radio and blocking third-party apps like CarPlay and Android Auto. They funnel drivers into closed environments where they alone decide what content is available. Not good at all. And this isn't about innovation. It's about revenue and control. And when the control extends to the dashboard, where 84% of Americans still listen to broadcast radio each week, the stakes go far beyond consumer choice. Even I have a radio show called The Drive with Lauren and Carl. It's on AM and FM radio stations across the country. If you want to listen to it, you're going to have to go search it out if the algorithm will let you. But what's really at stake? When the power goes out, when the cell towers fail, when the internet connections drop, broadcast radio keeps transmitting. It remains the backbone of America's emergency alert system, reaching 272 million listeners each week. And FEMA, the Department of Homeland Security, and emergency managers nationwide all rely on AM radio as critical communicators for the infrastructure. In fact, seven former FEMA administrators from both parties have urged Congress to safeguard AM radio, citing its unmatched reliability and its essential role in the success of the National Public Warning System. But the stakes go beyond emergencies. Broadcast radio remains democracy's most accessible platform. Local news stations serve communities too small for cable bureaus or newsrooms. And faith-based programming reaches congregations across denominations, especially for those who can't leave the home. Foreign language broadcasts connect immigrant communities. Agricultural reports guide farmers making real-time decisions. And high school football gets the same airtime as professional sports. These aren't premium features available to subscribers. It's free. And when it's free, open, and available to anyone with a radio, that's until automakers decide they're not. We know what happens when the platforms consolidate control over content distribution. Algorithms replace editorial judgment. Subscription tiers determine access. And it is expensive if you're buying SiriusXM or any of these other subscriptions. Content that doesn't serve corporate interests gets deprioritized or excluded entirely, which seems to be the plan. Tesla's FM removal isn't an isolated decision, as GM's CarPlay elimination isn't a technical preference. These are coordinated moves toward a future where your dashboard operates like your smartphone, except you can't choose a different car as easily as you can switch apps. The difference is critical. When you're behind the wheel, access to information isn't just about convenience. It's about safety, civic engagement, and the free flow of ideas in a democratic society. Congress can act, but that window is closing quickly. The AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act, which is H.R. 3413, or the Senate Bill 1669, would require automakers to include AM radio in all new vehicles at no extra cost. And you know they don't like that. With support from more than 315 House members on both sides, 61 senators, it's one of the most bipartisan efforts in Washington today. Yet, as Tesla and GM's announcements show, time is running out quickly because they'll just make the change. Congress must act to guarantee that all broadcast radio remains standard equipment in vehicles, ensuring that free, over-the-air access to information doesn't become a premium feature. The automotive industry will argue this is about consumer choice and technical optimization. Don't be fooled. It's about controlling a captive audience and deciding what tens of millions of Americans will hear every day. Lawmakers need to pass the bill immediately, and the public needs to push on this. Contact your local representative and tell them to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act and make your voice heard before automakers take it away. That's the AM for Every Vehicle Act, and that should include FM as well. If you like this video, give it a like and subscribe for more videos like this. And check out our car review channel, Car Smarts. You can support me by buying me a cup of coffee. And if you want even more content, check out the links in the description.
Amen, amen. So,
yeah.
Wow, there was a lot of content in there that we need to be mindful of. And it ties in, I believe, to why it is so important that we need your help in sewing in for this pledge week. It is so. Are we on?
Yeah, we should be on.
Okay. Yeah. Again, that was Senate Bill 1669. And again, what she was mentioning, a couple of things, and then you can jump in about the emergency broadcast system. If the power goes out or cell towers fail, the AM, FM radio, they continue going on. And so we really need to make sure that we understand the importance of radio and what they're doing right now, of course, with where everything is computer wise. You know, you have algorithms that will pump out what they believe you want to hear or should hear versus editorial discretion. Let's make sure we keep that in forefront of our minds.
Yeah, that's an important subject to keep in mind. John,
yes.
Wanted to come back to what we were talking about. I think there's a little bit more I'd like to talk about as far as the holiday goes.
Sure.
Well, you know, you mentioned this time of year and that, and the idea, and we brought up a lot of scripture here to prove what we're talking about, but the idea here is the focus needs to be on Jesus Christ.
Right.
This is the time, you know, we have a lot of other activities going on. The point, if you go by the scriptures, Jesus probably was not born on December 25th. He probably was born during the Feast of Trumpets back in the fall. But the idea here is if you're remembering Jesus' birthday and focusing on the things like that, that's fine. But this commercial business that has turned what they call Christmas into more presents and everything else, it just damages what we know about in the Bible.
Well, yeah, because if we just think it's it was his birth. I mean, somehow that kind of leaks through that it's his birth.
Yeah.
And but it's more than just his birth. It's his virgin birth. He was born of a virgin. That's what becomes so critical that people know.
Yes.
Why he had to be born of a virgin.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I want to share something today that happened, I think, today or yesterday. But Pete Hegseth, the man, he's head of the War Department now, which from the Defense Department to the War Department. He had a real Christmas party in the Pentagon, but it was honoring the Lord. It was like a sermon being given and all about what I just taught now.
Wow. Wow.
And it was really beautiful because I wanted to share two things. George Washington and his army commissioned chaplains, and they were commissioned over the gospel. They were real chaplains. Today, they're trying to make chaplains more like help you feel good and things like that. They don't want them to preach the real message of scriptures. So he's changed it. They had a real bona fide service today.
Wow.
At the Pentagon.
That's wonderful.
The other thing I want to share with you is that many forces out there, many, are trying to turn Christmas into secular.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And at school, I remember, it's going back a long way for me to go to school, but we used to have Christmas in the school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about Christ and all, and all that. We'd have it. I can remember back in the 50s. I'm 77 now, but I can remember back in the 50s, Christmas was real Christmas. And I want everybody to know this and understand this. Christmas is a legal holiday enacted by Congress. It is not just something that we all got together and we want to observe. It is a legal holiday like the 4th of July, and Memorial Day and Labor Day and Veterans Day and all. And so we can have, because it's a legal holiday honoring Jesus Christ as Christmas, we don't have to be bullied by anybody. It's a legal holiday. Like, well, you can't have anything in school or you can't have anything, business-wise or anything like this. You got to get Christmas out of government. If we stand our ground, it's a legal holiday recognized by the Congress when they made it a law and the president.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to share that because I don't think many of us know that it's a legal holiday enacted by Congress and signed by the president into law.
Praise God.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I think what you brought up, John, was so important, and I pray that, we talk about giving an invitation at the end of the program and that, but this is, the whole program is about Jesus Christ. Our whole program should, is about the Word of God and that. We talk about a lot of different things going on in the government and this issue with the AM radio being taken out of automobiles and that, but it's just another way to suppress people from knowing the true Word of God.
Yeah, AM is, I don't listen to FM. When I drive, it's strictly AM. I never, ever, ever, you could take FM out, I wouldn't care, but I want AM.
Yeah, exactly. I do the same thing. I always listen to AM.
Yeah.
And they know, the Democrats know, they know that. They know that a big chunk of America gets its news and opinions and all on AM, conservative America.
Yeah.
They know that, and that they want to cut that off.
That's exactly what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As she said, it's about revenue and control.
Yeah. Remember, it's Pledge Week, folks out there. Please call in. We really need those lines busy. 888-281-1110 and 888-677-9673.
I'd like to add to that what you were just mentioning. I go back to Pastor Ernie. Right in the middle of the 1990s, 1996 and around there. So I've known him all those years, and I've preached in Pastor Ernie's church, and I've gone out in pro-life events with Pastor Ernie. I've met him, and we hung out down in Washington for the annual Roe v. Wade march that we would have. So, you know, and I've been on the show with him for on Friday nights for many years now. I don't know how many, a lot of years. And he's unique, folks. He's fearless. You will hear things here that you just won't hear anyplace else. He always gave me a free hand to speak and share things and never tried to control or tell me don't speak about this or that. So he's unique, and he's unique too in that he has to raise funds because of the truth that he brings out. A lot of businesses would be, maybe if they sponsored him, would be persecuted because he brings out stuff that you probably hear no place else.
Yeah,
that's why he has to do fundraising, folks. And if the funds don't come in through fundraising, then he has to take stations off the air because he can't lose money on stations. So we're asking that you would hear the clarion call here and dig deep and really help him stay on the air. And that's why he has to do this, folks.
Yes.
Amen?
Yeah. Amen. 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 All right.
Oh, and the number is 888-281-1110, and I understand that's for credit card calls. You want to pay by credit card.
Right.
The other one is 888-677-9673. And that's if you're going to pledge.
Right, right. But if you can't get through on one, get through on the other one. Please don't let that deter you from calling in, because we want to keep those guys busy in the back here.
That's right. And with all the commercialism that they have done during this season, it's so, I think, important to follow the example of the wise men who sought out Jesus to worship him. And, you know, people that want to make a big to-do about December 25th not being a date, although you just mentioned, John, that that was signed into law. The fact that even 2 years post his birth, those wise men would come, not just because of the day, but because he was born, and still would travel so far, and they would bring him those gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, understanding the importance of the king. And so I would implore people to, because as we're looking at buying everyone else a gift, the birthday that we're celebrating, the reason for this season is because Jesus Christ was born into this world. And what greater gift than to give so that this radio station can continue on promoting the gospel and important information that is needful for our lives. And one other thing on the date, those that want to be sticklers on the date, my dad, he passed away in 1995. And we learned probably about 5 to 7 years, I think, before his passing, he was born in the 20s, that they had sent his birth record on when he was actually born. And I guess because of whatever record keeping back then, maybe it wasn't good or whatever, but we had known his birthday to be on February 5th, and we would always celebrate his birthday on February 5th. When we got the papers in the mail, or when he got the papers in the mail, we had found out that his birth certificate said he was born like October or something. And but we continued to celebrate his, we didn't change.
Yeah.
You know, the fact was that he was born, and we were accustomed to celebrating his birthday on the 5th of December. And so I mean, 5th of February. Yeah. So I just want to say it's important that he was born, and heaven has it recorded. And as Pastor Richard says, you know, you got different, you know, theologians that say, hey, when he was born. So you even have some to say it was in the spring. Some say in the fall. But we celebrate in December. And the fact is that, again, we have to remember that he did come, and that was verified by heaven, because heaven opened up and the angels declared, unto you this day is born in the city of David, that son Jesus Christ is born. So the heavens declared that. That's not just from man, that is from heaven, that verified his birth.
Yeah, all the angels did that with the shepherds.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
So, yeah. So, yeah, it's important. Yeah, worrying about when it is maybe an interesting study, but the point is our focus needs to be on Jesus Christ and not on a lot of the other commercial activities that goes on around. So, what do you think, John?
Yeah, Christmas is nice too because of the family situation. You know, it's nice to bring us together as a family. I really enjoy that, and I cherish that because we don't get together too much as families anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But we do at Christmas. So, and to keep the focus on why Jesus Christ had to be born. And I agree with you. We don't know for sure when he was born, but we know he was born. So just we don't have to get any doctrinal arguments or anything
that. And the point being is we worship a risen Savior. We don't worship a little baby,
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of people that they make a big deal about it, and they will not celebrate Christmas. I even have some family members now that they used to celebrate it, but we found this out and we're not going to celebrate it. And I just there is such a warm spirit, a warm feeling around this time of the year. And as for me, I certainly wouldn't attribute that to Satan. I attribute that to the Spirit of God that allows us to be able to celebrate during this season. And again, we know what the purpose is all about.
And what's nice about that, what you're saying, is there's a lot of people that are, their hearts are softened more around this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to take advantage of that and talk to them about what John was covering here and the idea of who Jesus Christ is and why we're doing all of this.
Yeah.
But it gives us opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody will say Merry Christmas or whatever. Oh, thank you. Merry Christmas. And do you know about Jesus Christ?
Absolutely.
And we can get into a conversation easier that way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like the wisdom of what Paul did when he went and he preached to Statue of the Unknown God,
and
he used that as a preface to get into be able to talk to them about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so, there's so many positive things that we could take away versus just getting stuck on that black and white issue. Well, that wasn't the day.
Well, it gives, like we're saying, it gives us an opportunity to witness, to be able to express ourselves and talk to somebody. A lot of people are hesitant to witness to other people, especially strangers, and this just opens up the door.
Absolutely.
You take advantage of some of these holidays, no matter how you look at it.
Yeah.
It opens up the door to be able to talk to somebody about Christ.
Absolutely. And we also remember those that are hurting during this time as well, because while some are celebrating, some have the memories of perhaps loved ones that they lost around this time. I know I lost my mom in December, but I still can focus on the fact that Christ came, that greatest gift. And as the song sings, joy the song Joy to the World, the Lord has come. And it's just been in my spirit, let every heart prepare him room, if you just prepare him room, let your heart be open, let Christ come in, let him fill that void, let him heal that hurt, let him bring that joy, because that was the word that was given, tidings of great joy to all men that are on the earth. So it's really a celebratory time that we can be so thankful for. And, again, although I lost my mom in December, of course, I've healed and I'm able to still celebrate this season. So, but my concern is for those that may be hurting, Please open up your heart, prepare him room, let him in, let him heal that hurt.
Yeah, and it's a time to visit some people that you wouldn't normally visit because of the time of year. So I know I have a nursing home ministry, and I just love those sweet people in there, and a lot of them just there's a lot of pressure this time of year for them. So you just got to love them back.
Yeah, I don't really send Christmas cards out. What I do is I call people.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
All my relatives between Christmas and New Year's, I call them all and say hello and talk things over, you know, how the family doing and things like that. But here, I did some research here while we were on the subject, and the year Christmas was made a federal holiday in 1870.
Okay.
Authority Act of the United States Congress, June 28th, 1870. The president was Ulysses S. Grant. And I found this very interesting here. Oh, and also they made New Year's Day, Independence Day as July 4th, and Thanksgiving all at the same time as Christmas.
Oh, wow.
Now, oh, wow.
Now, the states had recognized it. Alabama recognized Christmas first, 1836, Louisiana, 1838, Arkansas, 1838, Mississippi, 1838, Texas, 1845, and New York, 1857. So the federal recognition made it all the states now. All the states were going to recognize it.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So that was 1870. I knew it was in the 1870s that it was law. So, you know, it's a holiday.
Yeah.
We're recognizing the birth. The United States is recognizing the birth of Jesus Christ. And if people don't like it and they want to take Christ out of it, as kids at school, we always had the nativity scene there in some place in the school, like a lobby or something like that. And I can remember even singing some Christmas songs there. But now they wanted to, you know, secularize everything, separation of church and state. Well, it's not, because it's a law.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas is a federal law.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the school system has deteriorated so much from the time when we went to school. It's a shame. Like you said, you know, we used to sing Christmas carols in school. Mm-hmm. Would think nothing of it.
Yeah.
I'm from New York. Well, I call home Long Island, New York. And I can remember the area that I grew up in was about half Jewish, and the other half was Irish and Italian. And we at Christmas time, because Hanukkah always would come in there too.
Right.
I can remember a lot of the teachers were Jewish. We would sing Jewish spiritual songs, the Hebrew spiritual songs.
Oh, wow.
along with the Christmas, along with Christmas songs. And no one was upset singing Jewish spiritual songs, and the Jews weren't upset about singing, you know, Silent Night and all of that. We never had any problem whatsoever. That was before the separation of state, with religion, and then they banned Bible reading and prayer out of the schools in 19.
Okay, we're coming up to a hard break, John. We'll be back after this, folks. Thank you for tuning in, and call those numbers.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
WHK.
Hey, girl. Yes, you. You are seen. You are loved. And you were made for more. Hey, created especially for teen girls, chart-topping Christian artist Ann Wilson invites you to her 40-day devotional, Hey Girl, through honest stories, scripture, and journal prompts. Ann talks about real struggles, comparison, insecurity, doubt, and faith, reminding you that God is always near and fighting for you. Hey Girl, from K-Love Books. Get your copy today at klove.com/books.